Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go more.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
In fact, feeling a little drippy.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
I've got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
And that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Apparently, I'm mispronouncing all types of cities and names in the Italian league, despite actually having an Italian background on my dad's side. So apparently, I'm a terrible paisan, and that's why we're going to have Joe D join us here on the show. Jolton Joe D'Aloisio, former Wheels of Steel member here on the DA show, will call us up coming up in a little bit, and I'll get put in my place on the Italian Bowl. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. May I ask this question quickly? Why would the Lakers reportedly have, quote, serious interest in Rajon Rondo? Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting that Magic Johnson met with Rondo, and now there is serious interest from the Lakers as Rondo's a free agent bought out by the Bulls. Rajon Rondo is a lot of things. He's hyper-competitive. He's surly. He's combative with coaches. He's talented. He's self-destructive. He's impatient. The one thing he is not, that we know of, is a good mentor. Is he talented? Yes. Can he help flip a playoff series? Absolutely. Last year with him in the lineup, the Bulls were up 2-0 as the 8 seed over the 1 seeded Celtics. Once he went out of the lineup, Bulls didn't win again. Does he have a championship ring? No doubt about it. But Rajon Rondo also is highly temperamental, combative with coaches that he does not see eye to eye to, and not a guy that many people say, yeah, he's the perfect leader of younger players. Now, do I think there are some things you can draw from Rondo that you would like? Sure, I think he's protective at times of guys that he likes. He obviously is competitive. He has experience. But Rondo has now shot his way out of town of four different franchises, every one of which has stories about him clashing with the coach. All four of which is him not being able to play nice with others. You have a young team with Lonzo Ball, a young team with Brandon Ingram, a young team by and large that are basically in a growth year. You want this year to be for Ingram and Ball and others to essentially be, okay, get some reps, let's grow up a little bit, and the next summer is when we make a huge splash. Now, you wouldn't sign Rondo for anything more than a one-year deal, but that's where we are at. Rondo is a one-year deal kind of guy, and don't we realize this is why he's available right now? Because Rondo is problematic, and at 31 years old, nobody wants to give him a multi-year deal. I wouldn't touch him. If I'm the Lakers, I'm just letting Lonzo Ball have the ball right now, run the point. Hopefully, I get better play out of him and Ingram as the season goes on and they grow up. And then by the end of the season, maybe you've got a young core that has some reps under their belt, and then you bring in a winner like LeBron or a winner like Paul George or some big fish, and then you try to put it all together. But Rondo for 1 year to do what? Cause more friction? No thanks. Mike's in Tampa, listening online, CBSSportsRadio.com. What's going on, Mike? Mikey, you there, buddy? Do I wait on this one? Mike!
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I am the epic fail.
Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Brian tweets at me, DA, you said Calvin Johnson played on some bad teams, didn't win a Super Bowl, but will be in the Hall of Fame. If that's so, how can you possibly keep Tony Romo out of the Hall when he was the Cowboys' most valuable player that they needed to win? Romo statistically crushed Aikman and Staubach, though I'm a fan of both. Well, it's kind of easy. Number one, the quarterback is far more responsible for a team's wins and losses than a wide receiver is. If Calvin Johnson does not have a quarterback, he cannot win games. It doesn't matter how great he is. Witness Steve Largent. Steve Largent could be the second greatest wide receiver of all time. When he retired, held every statistical record. But his quarterbacks, the best of them, were Jim Zorn or Dave Craig. They didn't win anything. They had one good playoff run in 83 when they got to the AFC Championship game. He never played on good teams. Did that have anything to do with Steve Largent's ability? Of course not. So, and Steve Largent's the ultimate team guy, always did whatever it took. I mean, same thing with Calvin Johnson. Always put his head down, total professional, pros pro. Now, he had Matthew Stafford, but look at the coaches he had. I mean, you could argue that the best coach Calvin Johnson ever had was Jim Schwartz. This is a problem. Calvin Johnson was part of a team that lost all 16 games. Is that Calvin Johnson's fault? Calvin Johnson went 0-16 one time. Number two, you've got to weigh guys' Hall of Fame resumes against their peers. In Megatron's case, he was the best wide receiver in the game for a period of time, and certainly a top three wide receiver every year of his prime. Tony Romo was never a top three quarterback in the NFL. Tony Romo had more responsibility over wins and losses than anybody else in the field and was never a top three, or I would say not even a top five quarterback in the NFL. He was probably at his peak just outside top five, but he played during an era of Brady and Manning and Breeze and then Roethlisberger and Eli and Rivers. I mean, you have a lot of guys there that were just better. Now, you might say, well, I would like Romo had better stats than Eli, or Romo had better stats than Philip Rivers, or whatever. All right, but again, now you're talking about wins, playoff runs, Super Bowl championships. So when you look at comparing Hall of Fame resumes in the NFL, A, remember their role, namely a quarterback or somebody else. B, where they rank in terms of their contemporaries. 855-212-4CBS. Now, Daniel tweets, DA, are you kidding me? Football in July? How come nobody told me about this? I feel so betrayed. The Canadian Football League is going on right now, the CFL, but who knew that there was an Italian Bowl and an Italian League and that it's 37 years old and that every year they've got a 12-team or 10-team league that funnels into a legit championship game with a three-tiered playoff system? Now, apparently, I'm terrible at this because I mispronounce all these names wrong. So that's why we have Jolton Joe DeLuisio, a.k.a. Giuseppe, joining us here on the show. Good morning, Giuseppe.
Good morning, Damon. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing well. But before we start, can I get a beam up?
Yes, sir! All right, so Joe D., when you were listening to that last segment, and we love you because even though you no longer watch or listen to the show, or I should say work on the show, you're still listening to the show on a daily basis. While you were listening to me talk about the Italian Bowl, what were your initial thoughts?
I was just as shocked as you were because I had no idea that this even existed.
Wow.
I've never watched a single game. I didn't know it was this big. And I just noticed that your pronunciation was horrendous.
Okay. So why don't we start there? What did I mispronounce here?
First off, you started off with the Bergamo Lions, I think you said.
I said Bergamo. Is that wrong?
Oh, Bergamo. It's Bergamo.
Bergamo.
You got to roll the R, D.A. Bergamo Lions.
That's tough for me to roll the R. Bergamo Lions.
That's much better.
Okay. All right. What else?
You got to pronounce for the Dolphin team, they're Ancona. You got to stress the A. Ancona Dolphins.
Ancona Dolphins.
There you go. That sounds a lot better.
Okay. All right.
Now let's move on. So if you notice, these teams, it's city and then an American animal name. Let's go to an Italian city with an Italian name. So we go down the list. You have the Ferrara Aquile.
What so the hell did you just say?
Ferrara Aquile.
What?
Aquile means eagles. So they're the Ferrara Eagles.
Oh, I don't think they've won a Super Bowl.
No, and actually, interestingly enough, D.A., until 2014, the championship game, which is now called the Italian Bowl, was previously called Super Bowl Italiano.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Super Bowl Italiano. I like this. Can you believe, like, all these rosters also are filled with Italian guys?
Yes. Actually, it's a good mix. A lot of, also, I've noticed a lot of Americans here, dating back all the way to 08 at some of the Italian Bowl MVPs. The Bolonzano Giants running back, Reggie Green, he was the MVP.
He's not Italian.
No, he's not Italian. You had, in 2010, Greg Hay. He was a running back for the Parma Panthers.
Okay.
So there's a good mix here.
So your parents grew up in Italy. You also grew up going to Italy regularly. You still have family over there. They never talked about the Italian league.
No. And I'm actually shocked as to why they're even attempting or they actually have a league.
Because nobody cares about football there?
Exactly. Everyone's so locked into soccer. And I'm pretty sure ratings must be pretty bad because the last two Italian bowls haven't been televised, where they were for a period of time from 2010 to 2015. They were all televised. I don't know what happened these last 2 years, though. Nobody wants the rights.
Can you believe there's been 37 Italian bowls?
Yeah, it's actually pretty impressive. I'm shocked. I'm very surprised. But this year's winner, the championship, this past weekend was the Milano Seaman. And I think they went undefeated. No, actually, they beat the Rhinos, who were undefeated.
Yeah, and, well, so that was like the Giants over the Patriots. They stopped the undefeated season.
Yeah, the Rhinos were 10-0, and the Seaman were 8-10. So it was a hell of a year.
The Seaman show up wearing black?
No, I believe their colors are blue.
So, and that was an intercity rivalry. That's like Yankees, Mets, or Giants, Jets, or Cubs, White Sox, right? Two Milano teams.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge rivalry. And that game was actually played. It wasn't played at Milano. If it was played at Milano, there probably would have been riots.
Sure.
But this was played at Stadio Romeo Mendi in Vicenza.
So, what's amazing is that, as you pointed out, that game happened over the weekend. And somehow Calvin Johnson's comments from being an ambassador over there just made news yesterday. So is like news traveling really, really slowly, or is he still out there after the game's already done? Is he waiting for the Pro Bowl of the Italian League? What's going on?
I would assume that whoever did the interview with Calvin Johnson just realized, oh, wait, that was Calvin Johnson. And that's how it came over now.
They just realized, oh, he's pretty good at football.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what happened.
How about the Bergamo Lions winning 11 straight Italian bowls?
Yeah, the Bergamo Lions have been a dynasty, and every other team, now the newer teams that have come into the league, like the Roma Grizzlies, they're trying to build what Bergamo has.
Yeah, there's no question about it. They really are the Golden State Warriors of the Italian League.
Oh, definitely. Well, you know, you want to keep it in the football landscape. They're the Patriots.
They're the Patriots, yes. They're the Patriots. Giuseppe D'Aloisio, Jolton Joe D, formerly on the Wheels of Steel here on the DA Show, now on to bigger and brighter and better things at Iona College in the communications department, joining us here on the show. Joe D, thank you for the education, my friend. I got to get to break. You know how hard we like the breaks around here.
Damon, anytime you have my number, ciao, ci vediamo.
Just the best.
Zitching up a la banda, see the visually of a good Sammy.
La 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 da 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 la 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 la. It's Joe D of the Italian League.
Second stanza
with Joe D on the Italian League. When we come back, is Fred Taylor right? Does he deserve in the Hall of Fame? Hey, Manja, it's the DA Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch.
DA, first and foremost, man, you do a great job. I've been following you over the years, man. You're very professional, and you're straight to the point.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And a little reminder, the DA Show is on Facebook. Find us there. Like us there. Have a good time with us there.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
Go there and like the show page. That's facebook.com/TheDA Show. Again, facebook.com/TheDA Show. And like the show page. Joven tweets, DA, check out the book Playing for Pizza by John Grisham. Great book all around about an American playing in the Italian Football League. Okay, that's good to know. Nicholas tweets, DA, you need to have Joe D on the show once a week giving Italian football updates with that ridiculous music playing. That was awesome. Yeah, that really felt like an instant classic right there. It was happening. Joe D helping me pronounce Italian Bowl winners with the Godfather theme in the back. Yeah, that felt, there was something that felt very organic about all of that here on the show. I feel like that could be in the 12 DAs. Justin's in Melbourne, Florida, listening on 1560 to CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Justin?
Como esta, DA?
Como esta? How are you?
All righty. I can see it up in the air. The mothership's above east of coast of Florida. Beam me up, my man.
You got it.
I just wanted to comment. Yeah, I actually read that book also, Playing for Pizza, and it was Bergamo, I guess. That was the team. And get this, the best part about it, this guy was such a bad quarterback, the Cleveland Browns cut this guy, so he got shipped over to Italy to play.
Yeah. Could you imagine playing in the NFL and then going to the Italian League where your games are not even televised? I mean, pretty good, pretty good.
Well, the bottom line is, at least when he was in Italy, he's eating good food, and he's not living in Cleveland, so he actually had a pretty good time over there in the book.
That could be a win. Yeah, living in Italy and eating everything that you could find in sight probably didn't help your football play, but it's probably an amazing lifestyle.
Absolutely, man. All right, good hearing from you, D.A.
All right, be good, Justin. Shane tweets, you guys are pretty much obligating yourself to get an Italian football coach or executive on the show now. We must have more. You know, you will hear the Calvin Johnson story, I'm sure, a lot today. I'm sure people will play the audio, talk about his comments, all of this stuff. No one will give you the Italian Bowl background like we did. No one will give you any type of context on what the hell he is doing talking about Italian football. And it is amazing. The Italian Bowl's already happened, and it's Wednesday. And somehow the Calvin Johnson stuff is just making news now. So either he did this last week and news traveled really slowly from the Italian Bowl over here, or, as Joe D said, somebody had the Calvin Johnson quotes, and it took him about a week to realize that Calvin Johnson was really good at football. And then we're like, oh, I got these quotes. I should probably report them. Or Calvin Johnson is still over there. I don't know. He's got nothing else going on. He had the Italian Bowl last week. Now he's waiting for the Italian Pro Bowl. He's just hanging out. Maybe waiting for the Italian draft.
Maybe Delta offered him like free flight mileage if he stayed behind.
Yeah.
Gave up a seat.
It's all fantastic. So Fred Taylor is bent out of shape because he believes he should be getting at least some consideration for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Fred Taylor tweeted, I earned respect on the field, numbers better than the majority of running backs in history. Still don't understand why the writers don't respect it. Not just running backs that have come and gone in NFL history, but better than the majority of the backs in the Hall of Fame. Don't tell me anything about eras. AFC had top defenses in my division alone. Ravens, Steelers, Titans, just to name a few. And that's twice a year, talking about how he had to face those defenses. So let's start with the truth here. Let's start with what he is right about. Fred Taylor probably does deserve more credit historically because he did go up against some amazing defenses. And it sounds crazy now to say the Jaguars were in the same division as the Steelers or the Ravens, but they were. Right? That was the AFC Central before the AFC South and North and NFC South and North. So Fred Taylor did go up against some nasty defenses, Steelers of the 90s and 2000s, Ravens of the 90s and 2000s, and the Titans of the 90s and 2000s. Fred Jackson also was part of a couple of Jaguars teams that were really good. Two Jaguars teams made the AFC title game, if I'm not mistaken, both under Coughlin. Fred Taylor was part of at least one of those teams. I don't know if he was part of the first team. Fred Taylor had 7 1,000-yard seasons and finished with over 11,000 yards. Here's a guy that was a guy that scored 66 touchdowns over his career and was pretty decent out of the backfield as well. He caught more than 2,000 yards out of the backfield over the course of his career. So here's a guy that is 13,000 all-purpose yards for the Jacksonville Jaguars and reached the AFC title game in 1999. And remember, the Jaguars teams of those years were perennially very good. They might not have won a Super Bowl or got to one, but they were always in the playoffs under Coughlin with Brunel, great defense, Fred Taylor. If you look at where Fred Taylor ranks all time as well in terms of rushing yards, he's amongst some greats. He ranks 17th all time. That is ahead of John Riggins, who's in the Hall of Fame, ahead of O.J. Simpson in the Hall of Fame. In fact, that puts him just, let's see, he's only 50 yards behind Adrian Peterson. And Adrian Peterson is a slam dunk Hall of Famer. And Adrian Peterson doesn't have a lot of football left, but Peterson should probably put up about another 1,000 yards over the course of these final couple of years, I would say, to really put the distance. But that's where Fred Taylor is. Fred Taylor is just behind Thurman Thomas and Franco Harris. So Fred Taylor does have very, very good numbers and should not be embarrassed about being in the top 20 of all-time rushing yards. The issue is Fred Taylor's not a Hall of Famer because you know who else is around Fred Taylor on this list? Steven Jackson, who's just below Taylor. Corey Dillon, who's a couple of spots below. Warrick Dunn and Ricky Waters. Those are all really good running backs. Pro Bowl caliber running backs that ran for a lot of yards. But being in that category is just that. Good, but not great. Here's the top of the all-time rushing list. Emmitt Smith Hall of Fame. Walter Payton Hall of Fame. Barry Sanders Hall of Fame. Curtis Martin Hall of Fame. LaDainian Tomlinson Hall of Fame. Jerome Bettis Hall of Fame. Eric Dickerson Hall of Fame. Then it's Frank Gore. And it's going to be a very interesting debate when Gore is up for the Hall of Fame if he's deserving. Tony Dorsett Hall of Fame. Jim Brown Hall of Fame. Marshall Faulk Hall of Fame. That's your top 11. Now it's Edgerrin James, questionable. Marcus Allen Hall of Fame, Franco Harris Hall of Fame, Thurman Thomas Hall of Fame, Adrian Peterson, who's going to get in the Hall of Fame, and then Fred Taylor. But Fred Taylor's a notch below all of those guys. And then, as I said, Steven Jackson, Corey Dillon, Warrick Dunn, Ricky Waters, Jamal Lewis, Thomas Jones, Ricky Williams, Clinton Portis. None of those guys are getting in. So does Fred Taylor deserve more credit for being a top 17 all-time running back in terms of rushing yards? Yeah. Did he go up against some really good defenses? Yeah. Is he a Hall of Famer? No chance. When we come back here on the show, we'll get to your cut line, which includes the Knicks working currently on a deal for Carmelo Anthony. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Ernie Johnson, host of TNT's award-winning Inside the NBA.
Beam me up, DA.
You got it.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
39 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. Always watch us if you get a chance at watchda.com. Watch full broadcast of the show, which is also mobile friendly on your phone or your tablet. That's at watchda.com. Time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget, you can submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet it at us at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag Ask the Pros, and sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. It's fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Andrew in Houston writes, DA, the reports down here are that Carmelo Anthony could be getting traded to the Rockets. Do you think that makes the Rockets a legit contender? Here's the report. Wojnarowski has tweeted, sources say Knicks and Rockets are working on a Carmelo Anthony trade scenario that includes four team deals. Sides motivated, but no agreement imminent. Also, ESPN is reporting that Carmelo is open to waiving his no-trade clause to join the Rockets. Well, it makes him interesting. Makes him real interesting. If you have Chris Paul, James Harden, and Carmelo Anthony, you have quite the big three. There is an inherent problem here, though. And that is, again, ball-dominant players. That Rockets team went from afterthought to one of the best in the NBA, I think the third best record of the NBA, because they figured out how to unlock James Harden's brilliance. And they did that by putting the ball in his hands and allowing him to be the creator. Harden, you'll bring the ball up. Harden, you will either drive or kick. Harden, your basketball acumen is going to come to the forefront. We will win or lose based on you. And Harden won more often than he lost. They surrounded Harden with a bevy of shooters, and they said, Harden, your ability to get to the rack, you do that better than almost anybody in the NBA and finish. You do that or you kick out, and we will win that way. Didn't play a lot of defense, but they outscored a lot of opponents. You add Chris Paul, and on the surface you go, wow, that's a great running mate to push the tempo and to get up and down the floor with James Harden. But it takes the ball out of James Harden's hands because Chris Paul's not an off-ball kind of guy. He's the true point guard. So now you've shifted James Harden back to a two-guard situation, back to a wing player. And remember that it's very hard to define positions anymore in today's NBA. Basically, you're either ball dominant, a wing player, or a big. You're a point guard, a wing, or a big. So now you've made Chris Paul the point guard. James Harden plays in the wing. Carmelo Anthony comes in, and Carmelo is instant offense, but Carmelo leads to some of the same problems you had last year where no defense. Carmelo doesn't want to play defense, especially at his advanced age. And Carmelo isn't a traditional big that is going to rebound and block shots and alter shots. So it's a weird fit. It adds scoring power, adds scoring punch, and Carmelo will likely be re-energized playing with a guy like Chris Paul or just playing on a competitive team. I mean, it's been few and far between that Carmelo's been on a good team for 7 years. But does it fit? I mean, you know, it kind of feels like that Rockets team that brought all the old guys together back in the 90s and flamed out with Barkley and Drexler and Hakeem and Pippen. Kind of feels like that. But I think Carmelo can be a contributor. I think Carmelo can be part of a winner. But Carmelo's got to be utilized in a smart way, and he's got to be okay with that. I also find it hysterical that Carmelo, 3 weeks after Phil Jackson's fired, 2 weeks after he's fired, suddenly goes, all right, yeah, I'll waive my no-trade clause. I mean, basically what this says is Carmelo was just trying to stick the screws to Phil Jackson, which shows you how bad Phil Jackson's chess play was. Had Phil Jackson played nice with Carmelo, Carmelo would have waived the no-trade clause. But instead, Phil Jackson tried to bully him and intimidate him into it and embarrass him. And Carmelo said, well, screw you. I'll be here before you are. I'll be here after you are. I mean, Carmelo went from adamant, I'm not getting traded, I'm not leaving, I want to be here, to suddenly open to having his trade clause waived to join the Rockets. How amazing is that? And within weeks, I think suddenly within weeks, Carmelo's like, hey, you know what? I don't know if I want to be in New York anymore. The traffic's a nightmare. Property taxes are high. You know, I don't really want to be in New York anymore. I don't know. Just kind of came to me. No, it was, I'm just outlasting Phil. And the moment Phil's out of here, then yes, I can say I won that. And now you can trade me. Amazing. Time for your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
I hope we all are, honestly. Because we're at the point in time in this week where we're starting to get over that humpity hump. And if we get over the humpity hump, then we can all feel good together. And that's the key here. Georgia is in the spotlight now at SEC Media Days because everybody realizes, after Kirby Smart spoke, that the Georgia Bulldogs should be a favorite in the SEC East to get to Atlanta. And if they don't, it's a huge, huge disappointment. I love Georgia. I think that Jacob Eason is going to take that next step. They've got great deep threats. They've got Sony Michel as well, toting the rock. That should be an offense that hums. Maybe defensively they have some flaws, but Kirby Smart's second year, this team is primed to win the division. I think they need to be the favorites. I think that has to be the expectations. I know that Butch Jones has pressure on him, but frankly, Georgia has more talent than Tennessee does. Tennessee took a bath because of all of the talent that left in the NFL draft. Georgia should be the favorite, and don't be surprised if Georgia and Alabama are the two teams playing in Atlanta at the brand new Mercedes-Benz Dome coming up in late December, because that's how good the Bulldogs should be. And if Smart is all that in a bag of chips the way that he was promoted as a coordinator, he should get this team as division champions this year.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Joe Montana weighs in on Colin Kaepernick and says the reason Kaepernick does not have a job right now is because the league, quote, figured out how to defend him. If I'm playing defense, Montana said, I want the quarterback to run so I can hit him. In the pocket, you can't really hit him. So you look at Tim Tebow. He's a great guy, does a lot of great things. But when you complete 40-something percent of your passes, even in the low 50s, you're not going to make it, end of quote. He was asked whether the distraction factor is part of this for Kaepernick, and Joe Montana said, I'm sure there are some distraction issues. When we were playing for Bill Walsh, if you were a distraction, he didn't care how good you were. If you didn't mix in with the team, you weren't there very long, end of quote. I've talked about this often, and this is where I stand on Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. Those who say it's simply a football issue, that defenses figured him out, or he only wants to be a starter, or he's not a good leader, are ignoring the other part of it. They're oversimplifying it. Those that say he's being blackballed only because of his political views are also oversimplifying it and missing factors. it is obviously a combination of both. Because if the best quarterback in the NFL, like Tom Brady, kneels for the national anthem or doesn't show up at the White House for a championship ceremony, guess what? He has a job the next day, no ifs, ands, or buts. Okay? But you also can't say that when Blaine Gabbert gets signed or other garbage quarterbacks, that those guys are better fits than Colin Kaepernick from a football standpoint, that they help you win more games, because that's not right either.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, Aaron Rodgers says he's on the back nine of his career. He's 33 years old, and he says, I think I'm just kind of starting the back nine. This will be my 10th year starting. I got to sit for 3 years, so I'm not the typical 13-year pro. Having the opportunity to sit for 3 years and not take the wear and tear to learn the game. Somewhat amazing that Aaron Rodgers has been in the league for 13 years already. Wow. But damn, if you want to stay in the NFL long-term as a quarterback, you can. You just have to commit your body and your mind to it. And that's the whole thing. I mean, for Tom Brady, he can't imagine a life post-football. So he drives himself every single day to become better than he was yesterday. He takes nothing for granted. And that has helped push him to playing forever. But if you are Aaron Rodgers and you're already talking about being on the back nine, maybe you're already thinking about the end of your career. And if you start thinking already about it, maybe it's possible that when that time comes, your body starts breaking down a little bit. It's a little bit tougher to get up on Monday mornings. Maybe you go, it's not really worth it. I mean, if you want to play for as long as Brady does, it's possible in today's day and age with nutrition and science and what we know about concussions and everything, you know, taking guys out and giving them rest and they don't have to go through OTAs and all this type of stuff, training camp, preseason. But you've got to be totally committed. And if you're not totally committed, you'll never make it as far as Brady has.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And we believe that Paul Nanos, as part of Nanos at Night, has stolen our hot dog eating competition bit. And we had to hold a judge and jury on today's show to decide.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
So now you get the sense of both events.
Yes.
Judge Bogish, do you believe Nanos at Night stole our bit?
I don't know if you're enjoying this on the radio. I'm enjoying this immensely.
Well, let me make a side judgment to begin that Marco Belletti is guilty of a horrible Jacob Wilkins impersonation trying to copy what Jacob did for you. However,
but that was Nanos doing the play-by-play.
Well, Belletti was in the studio at the end helping out as the update guy.
Yeah.
You could have probably used a little dunk in the water, too.
So Jacob just was better in that secondary role.
Yeah.
Is Mraz going to survive?
Now, I will say this in terms of the actual case in front of my court today, and I don't mean to step on the toes of my new friends, Mr. Mendelara and Mr. Mirage, but as much as you guys mastered this bit, it's almost like public domain. You did not invent an eating contest on the radio. Therefore, as low budget and as lazy as it might have been on behalf of After Hours Weekend, I cannot actually find guilt on the side of Paul Nanos and company.
All rise. Here comes the judge.
The judge has spoken. Wienership is public domain.
Forget radio in general. CBS Sports Radio Enterprises, if you will.
That's right.
Shouldn't any eating run through the DA show? We have mastered and almost originated the eating on CBS Sports Radio.
Especially of hot dogs.
This guy eats slower than a grandma.
But since Paul paid for it by himself,
he should not be chewing, just shove them in and swallow.
And did not fully attempt to steal your kind of overall motif. Again, reluctantly, I find him innocent.
That's a tough ruling for the DA show.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I want an appeal, Mraz. I want the appellate courts to hear this out.
I think we need to get Judge Farrell in here to hear the case now. I want to appeal to him.
How would Judge Farrell and the appellate courts rule for us? Do you think he would rule in favor?
I think he'd give Nanos the death penalty.
I just think that if you're going to go and try to do hot dog eating competitions here on CBS Sports Radio, knowing the brand and the legacy we have built over 5 years of wienership, I just feel like you've got to at least run it by us.
Totally.
Get our blessing.
The DA Show's wienership is the Super Bowl. Okay, what Nanos did on that Nanos at Night was the Italian Bowl. Okay, and if you want to do the Italian Bowl, you contact Goodell and ask him if it's okay. They should have contacted us.
Yeah, exactly the same way that, you know, places have to advertise the big game, come watch the big game, is the same way you need to contact us for rights and licensing to a hot dog eating competition on CBS Sports Radio. Just a shame. Nanos should know better. And I don't like the ruling. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Chris Venezia doing a great job as always on the Watch DA digital broadcast. And Andrew Bogish, Judge Bogish, on your headlines. Be good. Be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership Disconnect.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.